following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again, to It Came From The Radio, this is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Charlie Saladino.
Hello, fun seekers.
And I have Hassan Galvin sitting across from us.
Hello.
And back from his seclusion with the Obama camp, because they were probing him for information for the past 3 weeks, because he tried to fist bump Obama when he wasn't supposed to.
That was it?
Yeah, that was what happened.
Conspiracy theory.
Is that what happened to you?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, are you agreeing that's what happened to you?
No, they put two needles behind my neck. And, I feel better now.
Termin al-Qaeda Synergia.
So if anybody's having any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us there. Also on the GBB website, you can see on us on the live webcam. So you can say hi right now. Hey, we've got a 10-second delay.
Boo.
Don't like to be
10 seconds too slow.
And the phone number here, which I'm going to repeat in a few minutes, is area code 61-888-8811.
Yay.
Today is an incredibly huge show, so despite the fact that I have 10 pages of news here, I only have the time for like 2 or 3 items.
Stretch the news out over the next month.
Delvin would
be all right.
Yeah, next. I guess in like on a slow week, we're going to have a backup news. So first bit of news. We just
like last my toilet backup news.
Wow, and we miss you so much.
Thank you.
We're having a contest today. Yay for contest! For the fine folks at Wizard, were kind enough to give us some passes to give away for the Wizard World Convention, which is this weekend.
I'm jealous.
October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Penn Pavilion, which is across the street from Madison Square Garden. We are giving away a pair of 3-day passes. Yes, I have problems with saying that. Yes, it's a pair of 3-day passes. And we're once again going to have our easiest contest ever, which is first person to call up, get some passes, and you win that, and it'll be all great.
Yeah, yes. Adam West and Burt Ward's going to be there.
Yes, it's going to be a chock full of people.
Yes.
With
I want to go to the other show where there's Adam Ward and Burt West. That's probably going to be a better show.
What? That's terrible.
I just think those guys are better actors.
The Brady Boys are going to be there.
Yes, it's going to be a whole big what to do.
So, what, Tom Brady?
No, the Brady Bunch guys.
The Brady Bunch boys.
Tom Brady would have been better.
He might show up. There's some basketball guys going to be there. And it's a whole bunch
and
of...
Erin Gray is going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm jealous. Yes.
Yeah. It's a good time.
You're not going?
So, he has a previous engagement.
He's got ailments.
But, so first caller, Serico 61-888-8811, and you'll get your free passes to the convention. Also, as a news bit of item, we are going to have a special guest this week. Is going to be Garib Shames, the head of Wizard. He's actually calling in a few minutes, so that's going to be awesome. And then after that, we're going to also have today Ahmed Best, who played Jar Jar Binks, as a special guest for that also, today's show. So today's a big show for us.
I'm excited.
Also, for other news, Terry Hatcher, best known for her role as Lois Lane and Desperate Housewives. Yes, thank you very much.
Okay.
She's gearing up to be a guest in Smallville as a mother, Lois Lane. Terry's role will come into play when Lois is finding old videotapes of her now deceased mom in an episode titled Abandoned. So she's going to be playing the mom of Lois Lane now. Because
I'm not going to watch it.
Why not?
Videotapes of
I don't watch that show.
Lois and Clark. Videotapes of Lois and Clark. She finds what?
No, she finds Lois finds tapes of her mom.
Lois and Superman could fly.
Yes, that's true.
From the start of the show.
Although I did not care for Dean Cain as a...
Nobody asked. Oh, okay. Keep going. It's not opinionated news.
Oh, he's all right. So let me make this quick then. He's already on the line, Garib Sheamus. Let me do this one from the Dusty Hermes Inertia. A man in an Elmo costume dealt out a Muppet-style beatdown, sending his attacker to the hospital in Florida the other day.
That was Herman in a Tickle Me Elmo costume. Just, that's where you've been the last two weeks. Right. Admit it.
Right, now you know.
It seems that a man was in a costume shop, and he was assaulting customers in the costume shop where Elmo was dressed up browsing for stuff. And Elmo beat him down.
Elmo
and
took care of business.
Yeah. The attacker wound up with two broken fingers.
He handled the problem.
Elmo took him down.
That's great.
Yeah, so that's it for the short news, because we have our special guest waiting.
Could I say something very quickly?
Yes, Charles.
This is in the R&E department, and I don't have names and I don't have anything, but this is just to go out there. The man who owns the Segway company.
Mr. Segway.
Actually, yeah, the Segway company. Actually, those little scooter things.
Scooter.
Was riding his off-road Segway, if you can imagine, and rode it off the cliff and kill himself on his own estate. They found him in the river. 62-year-old gentleman was riding the Segway on his estate, and I guess made a very wrong turn and went off this cliff, and authorities found him in the river next to his Segway.
When you run out of land, that's a wrong turn.
Yeah.
When there's no more land all of a sudden, that's a wrong turn.
And the words off-road Segway really did apply.
Yeah, he took that literally.
Yeah.
Wow. That's too bad.
That's
terrible. Bad.
It is. But
so you have a Segway for that one?
No, I don't.
No, that's just sad.
I think we should go right to our guest.
Yeah, go right to our
guest.
That's a terrible way to introduce our guest, by the way.
Well, I didn't introduce him that way. I just wanted to mention that.
So segueing, moving on, I guess, we're going to have our guest who is on the phone right now. It is the CEO of Wizard Entertainment, Mr. Garib Sheamus. Say hi, Garib.
Hey, everybody. Hey.
How's it going?
Doing really great, thanks.
So people who don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself and let them know who you are?
I'm Garib Sheamus. I'm the CEO of Wizard World, and I've been publishing Wizard Magazine for almost 20 years now, so we're the worldwide leader on everything you want to know about comic books and how they've pervaded all media. So we're in 40 countries and dozens of languages all over the world, and we also own the largest collection of Comic-Cons out there, including the largest and best show in New York, the Big Apple Comic-Con. And then we also have Chicago Comic-Con, which is the second largest show in the industry behind San Diego. We've got 15 events, and we've got about 25 total plans for next year. So a lot of really great stuff going on out there.
And speaking of which, you actually have a Comic-Con coming up this weekend, as we mentioned earlier. What goes into making a Comic-Con? I mean, do you just like walk around hoping to find some celebrities in Hollywood and say, hey, I got a con, come on down? How does it work?
I wish it was that easy, but there's actually over a year's worth of planning in any single event. And because we have so many of them, you're basically in the cycle now where some shows were just booking dates for halls, some ones were looking for dates, some were booking celebrities right now for 6 months or a year from now. A lot of times celebrities have shooting schedules that you have to work around, so they're not available. But the beauty about kind of this tour that we're putting on is that we can work around virtually anything, you know. So if a celebrity that we want to get, you know, take Adam West and Burt Ward, if those guys are shooting something, let's say, you know, well, we could always be in a show the month before, the month after, or multiple shows. And you know, but it does take a lot of effort, and we've got a lot of retailers and exhibitors out there that want to come to all of our shows. You know, it's the best way to get out there and meet your fans. I mean, we will see more fans over the next 12 months than actually read comic books out there. And for us, it's just a great way to bring in a lot of new people. We get a lot of kids to our shows. And, you know, so there's a lot that goes into putting these events together. We literally, on any given event, we could have 1,000 different exhibitors, dealers, artists and writers, celebrities, people that work the show. So, you know, it's a lot of coordination.
So when you started making the magazine first, and then you decided to go into conventions?
Absolutely, yeah. So Wizard was my first job out of college, actually. When I graduated school in 1990, I was really fluent on the Mac when they first came out, and started a newsletter for my mom's comic book and sports card store. And everybody liked it so much that me and the guy that worked in the store, we he would write the articles, I would do a lot of the business, get the magazine published. I mean, so we really literally did that when I was 21. And then a few years later, the people who owned the Chicago Comic Con were having some financial trouble, and I really liked the event business. I love the show business. I mean, growing up collecting comics and sports cards, I can't remember there being a weekend where I didn't go to at least one or two shows. Literally every weekend, didn't matter where it was. I had three brothers, so my parents would drive us, you know, all over the place, hours away, just to go to these events. So it was in my blood to really get into the show business. So we had an opportunity about 15 years ago to buy the Chicago event, and we took it from about 3,000 or 4,000 people up to about 70,000 turnstile this past year.
So what do you think is the secret of making a successful convention?
Well, we know our audience, and we know who we're reaching. That it's just something that I grew up with. It's something that I am. We love what we do. We're not trade people trying to do consumer shows. We're not carpetbaggers, guys that live outside this industry trying to do a show and take advantage of this market. You know, we're people that love to live and breathe in this world. I've been doing it for 20 years, so you really got to have a passion for it. We own the magazine. So, you know, we've been talking to people for over 20 years all over the world. I can't tell you how many cases of people we've influenced, people that have been turned on to products that they never would have known about, people that have grown up, you know, reading Wizard and have kind of influenced their taste in pop culture. And then you've got a ton of celebrities that grew up, you know, that grew up reading comics and read Wizard. And then on top of that, you've got so many people in Hollywood, you know, the producers, directors, that also, you know, Wizard was a big part of their pop culture influence growing up. So, you know, we've got fans literally all over the world. I mean, you know, I travel all over the world, and everywhere I go, people are just so excited to, you know, hear about Wizard. It's great.
So since you travel all over the world, do you think about maybe taking Wizard to like Japan or like Australia or something like that?
Well, we're already there.
Well, I meant for a convention. You have overseas conventions?
Well, we have, our magazines are sold all over the world. I mean, it's hard to find a country where our magazine is not. Eventually we're going to be all over the world. There's no reason why we can't be. We do have fans everywhere. And we do have some really, really big partners that we work with all over the world. So, right now we've got a lot of stuff going on in North America, and, that's our core focus for the moment. We definitely have plans. I mean, I've been all over the world, so, you know, I love it so much, and we have so many fans out there. So, you know, we'll get there eventually.
So as a fan yourself first, who was your very first guest, and who is the guest that you're still trying to get that you want to, like the unattainable guest? Who is the ultimate guest for you to have at a convention?
There's so many people out there. I mean, it's hard to say one. And also, you know, that actually changes. You know, so in one particular year, you know, it might be somebody that's in a movie or TV show that we want. And then the next, you know, could be the next month. It could be some new hot video game that we want to get, the person that's behind it. So that actually changes. I mean, there's always the perennial people that you love or that you grew up on that you want to get. The Big Apple show, for me, has somebody that we've been trying to get for a long, long time. I mean, this guy we've been trying for over a decade to try to get, and we finally got him, which is Lee Majors. You know, I don't know anybody, you know, in my, you know, age or demographic that didn't grow up with the $6 million man. So to be able to get Lee Majors, I can't even tell you how excited I am to meet him. And, you know, it's funny, too, because we talk to him all the time in the office. And whenever he calls, you know, even the guys that he's talking to, they right after they get off the phone and they book his hotel or his airline tickets, they're like, oh, my God, I just booked the Lee Majors. It's like one of those guests that, like, even people, you know, in our office can't believe that they're talking to.
Yeah, and also, Garrett, you have Richard Anderson coming in there, so that's going to be a little reunion for them, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Richard Anderson is great, and you know, we actually had Lindsay Wagner at our Chicago show, and we're friends with her, too, so you know, eventually we'll have to pair them all up, but you know, it's really unbelievable to be able to do that. The same thing with Adam West and Burt Ward. You know, Adam has been really unbelievable at our shows, and you know, we were able to get Burt Ward, who didn't do a lot of events, and so we were able to kind of team them up, and you know, they've been a great, people have like really freaking out over that. We were also able to put together the Brady Boys for this weekend. Yeah. So also another group of guys that hadn't been together in 20 years at an event like this.
Now, how did that come about? Were they fans of Wizard World, and did they call you? Did you get in touch with them? Or how did that come about?
Well, we had Christopher Knight and Adrian Curry. Adrian Curry won America's Next Top Model, and Christopher Knight, who played Peter Brady, they came to our show in Chicago last year in 2009. They were there also this year, 2010. But when they came last year, they had such an unbelievable experience. It was so great for them to come out. It was the first show that they'd done. And Adrian got to dress up in all these costumes, and the people love it. So we've been really great friends with Christopher Knight now. He's been coming, and Adrian has been coming to a lot of our shows. And just talking to them, you know, wanting to say, oh, you know, look, we've got you. You know, can we get, you know, the other two Brady Boys?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, again, that was one of those things that we started working on well over a year ago. The minute we met him, you know, after the show, and he told us how great it went, we're like, great, you know, can we get the Brady Boys there? So a lot of the times it just takes a really long time, but you got to get the ball rolling in order to make it happen.
Well, this show is going to be spectacular. You got a lot of great people there. The love of my life, Erin Gray from Buck Rogers. Oh, my God, yeah.
Beady, 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 beady.
Yeah.
That's not Erin Gray.
Oh, I know. Buck Rogers.
That wasn't even Buck Rogers. That was Tweaky.
All right, so what?
Terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, it looks like a beautiful lineup. I mean, it's fabulous.
Oh, and Mary McDonald, too. I mean, she's unbelievable. Yeah. She is so tough to get, too. That's also somebody that we've been working on for a long time. So, you know, we're really lucky to have her as well this weekend.
No.
And on top of it all, we got Mark Millar, which is going to be his only New York appearance of the year. And, you know, if you want to come out and see the guy who's probably the most preeminent guy in comics today in terms of, you know, also not only his what he's done in comics, but also his crossover to the movies, you know, between Wanted and
Kick-Ass.
Yeah. You know, this is the only place that people come to see him. And we've got so many other great, really talented artists and writers coming. And, you know, there's really something for everybody here.
So what when you think about the target audience and the fans, do you think of, let me get a couple of wrestlers, let me get a couple of actors, let me get a couple of comic guys, or is it just you just hopefully get as many people as you possibly can and try to work it out that way? Or what's the thought process on who you decide to get for a particular con?
Well, believe it or not, you know, our shows have become so extremely popular in the celebrity world, you know, that we actually couldn't possibly have everybody that wants to come to them. So we have to be pretty selective as to who we have at the shows, you know, because space in a lot of cases is pretty limited. But from our standpoint, we try to find, you know, who are really great guests, who are great with the fans, who are part of something that people are fans of. You know, wrestling is a great example. I grew up watching the WWE. I love it. I used to go to every single one of the fights. I had a friend of my dad's who was head of security at a lot of the arenas, and we used to get into all the fights. So I grew up as a huge fan, you know, of the WWE, and be able to get a lot of these wrestlers is a dream come true for me. And, you know, when you think about it, you get 5-10 million people a week watching wrestling on television. So really, really popular, and that's great, and we'd love to bring out the wrestlers, as well as a lot of the celebrities.
Our very own Hermes Nurture is probing me to let you know that he is the brother of Taz the Wrestler.
You know Taz?
That's who's the wrestler?
Taz,
yeah.
The announcer. Actually, he's an announcer now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm his brother. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Gary, I want to ask you a question. With the getting back to the convention, the Adam and Gary?
They need last names.
Adam Malin? You know Adam Malin runs Creation in California?
Oh, of course, yeah. We have a partnership with them.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and Gary, you know, Gary's still with him, right? Because I lost touch when they moved to California. But I always had an idea of doing like a James Bond convention. I always brought this up to them. And I have an eight-piece band that does weddings and clubs and everything. And I could tell you, because we're working on branching off and making a convention band called 007. We're going to do all the themes of James Bond. I have two girl vocalists. I have two guy vocalists. And I have, like, you know, two keyboard plays. And we're going to do, like, all the themes of...
What's the question?
Well, it's the question. An idea to have, like, a music segment, like a concert in one of the ballrooms.
There you go.
And that could bring people more into, you know... a class act, you know, into the ballroom, having not just showing films, having a band, but a professional band doing the themes of James Bond movies. Now, you know, I brought this up to Adam and Gary a lot of years when they were in New York, and they said, yeah, we should work on it. Now I'm working on it, and I'm calling the band 007, you know.
Can you do that?
We're working on it, I guess.
Well,
so I'm going to keep in touch with you.
The men in white tights will find him.
Wait a minute. Yeah. No, but Garrett, I will keep in touch. When I produce this band, you're the first guy I'm going to call.
I think you better change your number now.
Why? You don't think that's a good idea, Garrett?
I love the James Bond. I'm a huge fan of the franchise.
But you like the idea of a live band doing the themes?
Yes, it's great.
Okay.
That really is great.
It'll work.
Good answer, Garrett. Thank you.
No. I mean, I'm serious. You know,
we have James Marsters. At our New England show, he's bringing his band out, and it's going to be the only Northeast appearance of James Marsters and his band.
That's
so if
great.
You want to see him, it's the only place you can go to see him. Boston.
So I guess the question that Herman was trying to get out was live entertainment. What do you have for live entertainment for the Big Apple Con, and what are your thoughts about having future cons?
Well, we do a lot of stuff. We have everything from masquerade balls to... We have probably the East Coast largest magic tournament. We have the largest cash prize tour right now going with Magic the Gathering, and you know, with the new scores coming out this weekend, we've got product and it's really, really hot and hard to find. So people can come out and enter that tournament. We have something called 100% Cotton. So we've got a nighttime event that's going to be hosted with Mike Cotton, the editor of Wizard, and Mark Millar. And we do stuff with Ethan Van Sciver, typically, where I'll bring out a piano and sing these really crazy songs. We do a lot of that. We've got a lot of screenings coming in as well. So we've got a few casts of some movies coming in. So two of the best horror films that are coming out this holiday is The Human Centipede. And so we've got a bunch of the cast members from that. And then we also have 30 Days a Night, which is the second movie that they're working on through Sony. We've also got the cast for that as well. So we've got quite a bunch of screenings, especially in the horror side. But then also, like even at our other shows, we have tons of casts of movies. We're bringing the producers, the directors, and stuff to show films. So we've got a whole film festival component that we've added to the show. So we've got a lot of stuff. Again, like I said, with James Marsters, we're adding a music component to it. We've got some panels that go into the night. So overall, it's a really, really fun and exciting event. You know, it's not, you know, the event center is so centrally located. You know, it's really the easiest place to get to in Manhattan. You know, it's just not stuck in the middle of nowhere where there's no mass transportation and no buses. I mean, this is a place where you couldn't find an easier place to get to.
You can't get any better than that for transportation.
Midtown
Penn Station,
yeah.
You're right there. That's it.
Yeah, it's good.
So I want to mention quickly, Stacey Salmeri won the ticket. She called in while we were talking to you, and she says hi to Hassan. So hi to Hassan from Stacey.
Oh, that's great. That's great. She's going to have an awesome time.
So congratulations, Stacey. You're going to give her the VIP treatment when she goes in there?
comes by and says hello to me, I definitely will. I'll welcome you to whoever she wants to meet.
Oh, look at that. See? There you go, Stacy.
He's going to say, get me a drink.
Let me tell you something. I'm so jealous of Stacy right now because this convention is going to be fabulous.
See, it's previous obligations you can't make.
Oh, my God. I'll be out of state. I'm jealous. The love of my life's there. Everybody I want to see is there. And if anybody has a chance, unlike myself, they need to go to school.
Oh, we got to get your shots again.
So Gareth, do you think you can move the entire convention just for Charlie here?
Oh, yeah, right.
He can just come to the next one. We actually have another one in the spring in May.
Oh, I'll be there.
There you go.
I'm clearing my schedule for that already.
Yeah, that show is going to be unbelievable. I mean, that's going to become the biggest show in Manhattan, that show, because you know, everybody wanted us to do that show in May, and you know we're going to do it at least twice a year. I mean, we've got so many opportunities. New York is a place where you know we can do that show more than twice a year. So right now we've already got our second date in May.
And what day is that?
What's the date on that? May 21, 22.
I'm there. I'm clearing the charts.
There you go.
That's it.
Cece, you got Charlie going in right now.
That's it.
So do you want to promote any other place? Any last places you want to mention before we head to our break, Gavin?
Yeah, we just want people to come out. They're going to have a great time. We've got hundreds of vendors selling everything from new comics to old comics to toys, games, Japanese animation, just anything, video games. It's going to be just a really great thing. We've got so many artists and writers coming out. I think we have probably the best of the comic world coming out for it. So we really really want to make sure people come out. They're going to have a great time.
Yeah, it does look good. I've been to WizardCons before, and actually I've been to the Big Apple Con before. Well, it was Wizard Big Apple Con, and I've appreciated it a lot.
And no, I think everybody should go on wizardworld.com and see what it's all about if they do not know what it's all about, which is amazing to me because everybody knows what it's about. But go on to that website, and I bet my bottom dollar they'll all be at the convention after they see this website.
Very well said, Charlie. Thank you, Gareth, for calling. I appreciate
you do
that.
Have to
and
go
I,
get your shots, that's all.
Thank you so much.
And I also appreciate you setting up the special guest we have coming on after your interview. So I really thank you very much for being helpful with us and giving away the tickets. I really thank you very much for that.
My pleasure. Really great to support you guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Have a good one.
Thank you, Gareth.
Take care.
So that was actually Gareth Shanks of Head of Wizard, which is a very awesome, nice guy. And Tom, we are ready for our break. We'll be right back. We came from radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, live and let live. If this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in and cry, say live and let die. Thank you. let live. But if this ever-changing world in which we live in makes you give in a try, say live and let die.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with the King from Radio with your hosts, Charlie Saladino, Mark Torres, which is me, Hummer Snarchy, and Hassan Galwin.
Hey, hello. Hey, how's it, what's going on?
Okay. Speaking about 007.
Hey, I can talk again.
Speaking about 007, yes. That's what we're going to be doing?
Good segue. I didn't go off the cliff.
Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
Holy crap. Holy crap.
You know,
I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if the shows are
right.
I don't know if the shows are better or worse with
It's better with me.
It's just a completely different animal.
It's better because only Herman can ask a question without actually asking a question at all.
Yeah, I laugh at my own jokes.
I used to do this thing where I did this thing the other time when I did a thing. Yeah. And then when I was doing that thing, I was wondering how many other people do this thing. But I was wondering, is this a thing to do or is this someone else's thing?
And he was
So I took the thing and I ran away. And I tripped on a thing when I was on my way out.
Yeah, it was amazing. I could just see Garrett over there going, help, call the police.
I'm on the radio and I feel violated.
So we're actually waiting. Ooh, that might be our special guest right now.
It might be the fire department.
No, fire department.
I wouldn't know. I have to get my shot.
We got a Herman stuck in a tree. We got to get the fire department.
So actually, while we're waiting for a few minutes, I actually have one other bit of news that I wanted to get across.
One other bit? As he's turning like 50 pages.
Yeah, I got nine pages of news. It's amazing.
This just in.
Yes, this just in. For all you listeners who were bets out there on the first casualty of the new season of the new fall season, the first show that gets canceled. Anybody have any guesses? What's the new show?
Not a clue.
New show got canceled.
The event's been canceled.
The event.
No,
definitely not Hawaii 5-0. That was very good.
Okay, so the drum roll, please.
Oh, I know. Jay Abrams show canceled.
No. The show that got canceled was Lone Star.
Lone Star. That was a good song. Good band too.
It got canceled after two episodes.
I never even heard of it.
The first week's numbers was 4 million, and because of which, the series creator Kyle Killen, he penned an open letter to fans out there begging for help to tune in for episode two. He said, "For Lone Star to survive, we're going to have to pull off a minor miracle."
You know what?
Wait, let him finish the quote.
They should have put the situation in there. And Dance with the Stars. Is he a star?
That wasn't worth interrupting the quote. Statistically, new shows tend to lose viewers in their second week, and we're aiming to gain them. In fact, screw it. Let's double our audience. That's what he said on there. And then the second week's show was 3.2 million viewers.
They said no. The answer was no.
So that's kind of sad. He actually begged people for winning.
See, Lone Star. Evil will always win because good is dumb.
Pizza the Hut sent out for him.
Evil spelled backwards is live.
And going from Spaceballs to Star Wars, we have our second special guest on the phone right now. He is the one, the only man who is capable of portraying Jar Jar Binks, most famously known for. The one, the only, Ahmed Best. Say hi, Ahmed.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yay!
Great.
Hey.
Long Island, Long Island.
That's Jar Jar Binks is a gangster.
Strong Island. I was, when I came up, it was exactly. Always called Strong Island.
All right. So I'm going to have to do this. So forgive me, listeners, and I'm going to ask you for your forgiveness, but I'm going to... We so happy to have you on our show.
That's what I'm getting. I'm Maddie.
Wow.
Well done.
I had to do it.
I think he just hung up. I think he just hung up. Hello? Hello? Well
oh,
done.
Ever.
That's great,
got
Grandma.
Got a reputation as small as it is.
So, actually, I was talking to a very own Homer Sinatra before the show.
I don't want him to be ours, though. I want to get rid of him.
And he was telling me that he did not know that you were actually in the outfit when you made the movies, in the Georgia outfit.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so why don't you tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I mean, I originally got hired just to be the movement of the character. I didn't get hired for the voice.
Wow.
Robin Gerland, who casted 1 and 2, saw me in Stomp. I was in Stomp for years on Broadway. And I did Stomp on tour in San Fran. And she was there in San Fran. And she was like, at first, everybody was just looking for somebody to do the physicality of the character. And when I had gone up and auditioned for the role, it was purely physicality. Like when George Lucas came in, she was more talking about what I moved like, how I moved, how fast, how slow, how many, you know, I was doing a lot of Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin kind of movements, because George wanted it to be more of a Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin type of comedy character. And then later on, I told him I did voices, and then he was just like, well, here we go, I don't have to find anybody else, do the whole thing. Oh. So I did the whole thing.
Wow, there you go. That's
good thing you were there, because you would have used Harrison Ford again.
Yeah, right?
Yes, that's exactly what George Lucas would have done.
It's a joke.
It was a bad one.
So when they cast you in the role, did you know that this was going to be with you for the rest of your life, and how did you get that into case?
Yeah, I mean, I had an idea. I mean, how could it not? You know, Star Wars is modern mythology. But honestly, I just enjoyed every moment of it. I wasn't really thinking about future or what was going to happen. I was just in the moment. You know, I dug it. I liked the fact that I was doing this. I liked the fact that I was making film history. And I just had such a great time with everybody doing it. And, you know, as an actor, you go there, you show up, and you try to do your best to promote the director's vision. And I feel like I did that, you know?
So as an actor, you also put something of yourself into the movie. So what did you put into the character of Jar Jar Binks?
Mostly it was jokes. You know, all the movement that I did and everything that I tried to do, I tried to bring a comedic sensibility to it. I mean, of course, George has the ultimate final word, but it was different from my character because I physically didn't show up in the majority of the movie. Like, the animators took what I did and then they made a performance out of it. You know what I mean? So regardless of what my performance did, I was just mostly influencing the performance of the character. It wasn't going to be me at the end of the day. It was going to be animation.
Right.
So I just tried to bring as much comedic sensibility to what I was doing as possible and give as many options to the animators as I possibly could.
All right, I have a question. How is it after, I don't know, how many months you worked on that film?
Uh-huh.
You were in the desert in Tunisia in that suit. I've seen some pictures. So how did it feel to do that work in that constrictive suit in those intense weather environments and then not be in the film technically?
Well, honestly, because we were breaking ground, because it was something that we were all figuring out at the time, and because it was more of a pioneering type of thing than just a regular acting gig, it didn't bother me. You know what I mean? Because it was something brand new. It was something that George trusted me with. I mean, here I was a kid, you know, I was 20-whatever years old, 23, 24 years old. And here George Lucas says to me, yeah, I'm trusting you with this brand new character in a new direction that I've never taken before in all of my career. So both our asses are on the line. I just,
yeah, no pressure, you know, there, right?
I was like, well, I just want to do as good a job as I can. Like, I wasn't really thinking about whether I was going to be there or not be there. I was thinking about don't get fired.
Right. So it was like a legacy thing that helped you get through all the hardship of it, I guess.
It was more of an experience thing. You know what I mean? Like, that experience is unlike no other, and I'd probably never get a chance to do something like that, as groundbreaking, as risky, you know, as influential, in such an influential, you know, series of movies. I probably never would be able to do that again. Yeah, it was my shot to do that, and I wanted to do it.
I can't even imagine that. Congratulations.
Is that the goal for all actors out there, to make the, you know, to do that one role, to be?
I think so. I think so, yeah. I think everybody wants to have that transformative role. I think every actor out there is trying to make their mark in some way. Do I mean, fortunately, there are some great actors out there who get to do it multiple times. Like you said, Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford has done it many times. You know, he did it with Han Solo. He did it with Indiana Jones. And he can play those type of characters, you know, several times. De Niro does it, has done it several times. Pacino has done it several times. Mel Streep, several times. But, you know, not a lot of actors out there. There are a lot of actors and not a lot of jobs. You know what I mean? And every actor is looking for that job that's going to, you know, either start their career or define their career, you know?
Wow. So what were your thoughts when you first saw the Jar Jar Binks suit? When you got to the set, you were there and you're like, this is what I got to wear? What went through your mind when you saw the suit?
I thought it was pretty incredibly constructed. Like, you know, I had no idea how much of it I was going to wear, what it was going to be, how long it was going to take to get in it. And at first, you know, a lot of folks thought it was going to be a heavy makeup thing, but it really wasn't. Like, Darth Maul was more of a makeup thing. Like, he was in the makeup chair for like 6 hours trying to get the Darth Maul thing on. It took me 20 minutes to get dressed. So it was pretty cool. You know what I mean? I wasn't really that taken aback by it, but, you know, I had never worn latex like that.
You wore latex in another way?
Yeah. I wore another kind of latex. Ironically, just as large.
My jokes are bad.
So let me ask you a question. After all of this was done and you sat in the movie theater and you watched this, what was going through your head? Because obviously it came out brilliant. So what was going, were you very happy? Were you like saying, like a fan going like, oh, wow, that works. You know, what was it like doing that?
It was really exciting. You know what I mean? Because, I was a huge Star Wars fan growing up.
Yeah, there you go.
And, I'm from the South Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All right.
We're on Ozone Park.
Right on.
There you go.
There you go. I mean, here you go. A poor kid from the South Bronx of New York City gets to see his name on the screen after the Star Wars sign. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's great.
Oh, I definitely know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. So, you know, I was more excited about being part of film history. I was excited that I had a job. I was excited that my career took me to this place. I loved everybody who I worked with. And I know where I came from. You know what I mean?
Right,
so I didn't take anything for granted.
Right.
So what is life like after Star Wars? What is the future for Ahmed Best?
I'll tell you, the one thing that Star Wars does is it opens a lot of doors. Regardless of what I'm doing or what the next level, the next step, what I want to do. The fact that I was in the movie and have that type of experience helps a lot in my world, you know, and coming out here, I moved from Brooklyn to Los Angeles 10 years ago, and Los Angeles is another kind of crazy, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you got a lot of folks out here dreaming, and it's it's good that I kind of lived the dream already. You know what I'm saying? So now I could deal with the reality of the fact that you got to go out there, you got to work, you got to, you know, do your best. You have to stay on your craft and you have to constantly reinvent. And that's pretty much what I'm doing. I started producing and directing because of, you know, honestly, because of George Lucas, because he was such an inspiration to me while we were shooting. And George and I have retained a friendship that I value to the nth degree. That there's been no limit to the value of the friendship that I share with him. And if he didn't say, you know what, you're pretty good at this, you can do this, I probably wouldn't have the courage to do it. So I'm producing, I'm writing, I'm directing, as well as acting. And I have a new show that I'm looking for a home for called The Nebula, which is a comedy science fiction show starring me, starring Tracy Toms, who is a fantastic actress. She was on Cold Case for years. She was in Rent. She played Joanne in Rent. Starring the extremely super talented and very, very funny Mr. Wayne Brady. Mm-hmm. And the sci-fi pinnacle of it all, the prince, the king of the miniseries, Mr. LeVar Burton, is in it.
Oh, wow. My God. Very good. Very good.
So all of us are coming together. We're doing a sci-fi comedy unlike anyone has ever seen before. And that's going to be on a network near you anytime now.
Wow. So
that's great.
So you went from hanging out in South Bronx.
And Brooklyn.
And Brooklyn. Brooklyn. And Brooklyn.
Sometimes, yes. Queens.
Sometimes Queens.
My mom's from South Ozone Park.
So oh, all right.
Ozone Park. Hey.
Yay.
And then you made movie history, and now you're doing your own thing.
Yes.
What is the one thing that you can say that you want to do that you haven't done yet? What is the unattainable goal? Because they always say your reach must extend your grasp. So what is that final thing for Alma at Best?
That is a very good question. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I really love living in the moment. Every day is a new day. The industry really takes me to places that I never thought that I'd ever be. You know what I mean? And where I'd never thought that I'd want to be. So I don't know. I could tell you something today and tomorrow might change. I know that I want to leave my mark on this world, in my name rather than being, a member of the George Lucas family as much as I love it. I want to create my own family of entertainment and have those visions that I have out there in the world for everyone to enjoy. You know what I mean? So I think that's where I want to go. That's where I'm going right now. But who knows? You know, I might be an ambassador someday.
Can I ask a question?
All right, here we go. That, yes.
Do you think in the future that CGI is going to take over live actors?
Never.
Wow.
I don't think it ever will. I think there will always be an integration between the two. But if you think about it, there aren't very many CGI movies that come out, and everyone always says, well, it didn't look real. You're always going to want to have that real element to it. Will CGI be a dominant tool in animation? I think so. And I think the technology will get better. But I think you'll always need people. As long as there are people on the planet, you'll always need us.
Well, I'm speaking for
the reason, let me finish. The reason I'm saying that because the new Planet of the Apes is coming out, and they're using all CGI apes.
Yeah.
You know about that, right?
Yeah, but, you know, with every Planet of the Apes, there's, you know, 10 movies that come out with real people. You also have to think about the expense. You know what I mean? Hollywood is all about the dollar. And a CGI movie, especially one of that magnitude, you're talking upwards of $250 million
right,
and up. Those are not easy movies to greenlight. You know what I mean? So the studio system is thinking about saving money. If they're going to put $250 million in a movie, they're going to try to make $1 billion back from it. So they're not going to put all their energy into CGI. Plus, CGI takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of talent. You know, you come up with one CGI movie, you can do 10 movies in the amount of time you're doing your rendering animation.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? When yeah. I did Star Wars, I worked on episode one for 2.5 years.
Right.
You know what I mean? You yes. can do movies with regular actors, with live action people in 6 weeks. So well, it's not cost effective enough yet to take over.
Right.
But I think that's more of a personal philosophical question than it is a technology question. I think that as long as there are people, you're going to want people. That's like saying, do you think boy bands will disappear? And I'm, you know, or, you know, you think after Justin Timberlake, there'll be no more boy bands. And then Justin Bieber shows up.
Right. I'm just saying the technology is moving very quickly, you know, and it gets faster and it can make movies faster, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The technology is very quick. But, I mean, it's the same thing that happened with music. Maybe 15, 20 years ago is happening with film. It's really easy to grab a camera that shoots 24 frames per second and go shoot your movie. It's not as easy to make believable CGI in with that amount of money and that amount of time yet. Will it eventually happen? I think so. You know, I think yeah. you'll be able to do that. But I don't think the CGI movie will be ubiquitous. I think there will be more people wanting to be actors, more people wanting to see actors than seeing CGI. You know, CGI is animation. There's a disconnect sometimes with people when they're in animation.
Oh, yeah.
And as good as the avatars were, they weren't as good as seeing Sigourney Weaver, the real person, and Sigourney Weaver, the avatar.
Of course, but it's still groundbreaking that avatar was like, amazing, you know, and they're going to get better. They're going to move, you know, move faster and get better.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think the animation is going to get a lot better. I think you're going to have a harder time.
Go ahead, Joe.
Differentiating between, you know, live action animation, but I always think they'll be active.
Well, all I have to say is I'm with all this animation talk. I'm not even thinking that. I'm excited about this Nebula thing. I hope this, seriously, I hope this takes off because it sounds like a great venture. And it would be wonderful if a gentleman from the South Bronx and Brooklyn and South Ozone Park cornered the market on this, except the, you know, because all we had was British TV with all these science fiction things. I want something coming out of America. I want somebody to buy a show. And when that happens, you come back here, talk to us.
You got it.
Yeah, I'm all excited about this.
From
I
the
think
Bronx.
It's going to be great.
Was it a purposeful thought to include minorities in the cast?
Well, at first, the idea for the show was about, the idea of the show was a show about an internet show. So it was like, all these black people couldn't get arrested on television, so we embraced the internet and did Assassin's Creed. And to some extent, the show is still going to be about that. Yeah. So, it is on purpose. But the thing about sci-fi is always groundbreaking, and there's so much room to do so many creative things in sci-fi. Race never stopped it from happening. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, race actually pushed the envelope a little bit more. You know, we all know the story of Shatner and Michelle Nichols doing the first interracial kiss on television.
Yes.
So it pushed the envelope to the discussion of race, which the Nebula will have some of that in it. But at the end of the day, we want to make a really good, really entertaining, really funny sci-fi show. And there hasn't been one in quite a while, like you said, from America. There was a British one.
Right, right. But we need one here.
Yeah, so, and you know, what better than Scott from New York to go up.
Let's find a home for that, and then come back and join us again.
So, Ahmed, we got about a minute left. So, you have any final thoughts? You want to promote any websites? Now's the time to do so.
Yeah, hit me on my Twitter. It's Ahmed Best at Twitter. And stay tuned for stuff coming on. You know, I'm going to be in New York this weekend to do the Big Apple Comic Con. And come by, say what's up, get an autograph if you want. It's the first time I'm ever doing a convention. So, after however many years that it's been since episode one came out, and people have been asking me, all right, I'm coming out. this year. I'm going to start doing conventions, start talking to the people, and I really want to hear from you. You know, I really want to hear what folks like, what folks want to see, and it's going to inform me, and it's going to inform the Nebula, you know? And I really want to get to know everybody. You know, I didn't do conventions for such a long time because I very arrogantly thought I wouldn't be able to enjoy them if I was signing autographs. But then I went to Comic-Con, and I just realized I'm one of y'all. You know what I'm saying? And I forgot how much I was the sci-fi comic book gamer fan. And I became a fan again, you know? And regardless of whether or not I was in Star Wars, I would still be a fan. So now I'm coming out to the conventions just to meet all my other friends who want to be fans.
Well, we really appreciate you calling in. And we really thank you so much. Well, we are out of time. So thank you very much, Ahmed. We will hopefully one of us will be able to see you at the con. And that about does it for this week. I really appreciate you calling in. Once again, thank you so much. And I guess
thanks
that's all done. Archives will be up next week. We'll see you next time.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.